Does your work matter to God? Hello and welcome to this portion of Vocal Point. I'm Jerry Newcomb, and our guest right now is Robert Dickey III, and he is the president of Crown, which used to be known as Crown Financial Ministries, which used to be known as Christian Financial Concepts, as founded by Larry Burkett. Now, Robert Dickey III has written a book called Love Your Work, and we're going to talk about this whole idea of vocation right now on Vocal Point. Bob, welcome to the program. So good to have you on.
Oh, Jerry, it's quite an honor to be on the program, and I know you've interviewed our late founder, Larry Burkett, many times, and so I'm honored to be on your show, so thank you for having me.
Oh, thank you. Okay, so tell us about this book, Love Your Work. How did it develop? What, was there any particular catalyst event or something that happened and made you think, oh, I got to write a book about this?
Well, you know, I'm not an author like you are, I think God just opened up the door for me to be able to start to put down some thoughts and some words on the page, and I was blessed to have Moody Publishers in Chicago pick this up. What was happening around, we all are familiar with the Great Recession that happened in 2008 to 2009, and in my role at Crown, working with people around, not only here in the United States, but around the globe, who had been displaced by the Great Recession, were struggling in their careers, struggling with work, many people who had lost jobs, many people who found themselves in a job that they thought was going to be a temporary job to tide them over, but then it kind of became permanent. I saw so many people who were just unhappy. And, you know, a recent Wall Street Journal article stated that over 80% of respondents within the U.S. either hate their job or hate their boss. And I just was scratching my head, like, boy, this is an epidemic, and this is not what God intended for us. And so I started just interviewing people, trying to help folks, and put all of these ideas down onto a blog, and then later on into a book. And I hope that the things that I have is shared in this book are helpful for folks who are navigating their careers and really trying to figure out, you know, what God has in store for them so that they can make an impact in the world.
At the end of the day, would you say that ultimately the people need to change within themselves so they appreciate what they have, even though it may stink or may not be appropriate for them? Or is it more that, no, they somehow figure out how to be in alignment with what God has made them to do and take a different job, even if they get less money initially or something like that, but they're passionate about it?
Well, I think it's a both and. And so one of the things that I recommend for folks when I'm personally counseling with somebody, a lot of times the initial gut reaction is there's something that they don't like about their job or their boss or a coworker, and they just want to leave. And I think that running away from something as opposed to running to something is dangerous. And so first and foremost, I recommend that folks sit back and say, okay, what is the frustration? What is the frustration that you are dealing with at your work? And God may have planted you there. He certainly did for a particular reason. So before we run away from something, let's do a deep dive analysis. And let's figure out, is there something that I need to be working on personally? What am I supposed to be accomplishing in this season? I always reference the story of Joseph. You know, Joseph was so faithful in all the various instances that he was in, even though they were not very fun instances, but God was using those as obstacles and things to help refine and mold him for the leader that he needed to be, for the position that God had in store for him. And so when we're in that furnace, when we are in those moments of hardship, we should be looking at how is God using this to mold us and refine us for the things that he has in store for us in the future. You know, and secondly, sometimes we do need to move. Sometimes we are in a situation where we're not living in alignment with how God uniquely crafted and made us. You know, maybe we followed a career pursuit because we were chasing after the things of the world. We wanted to have a career because it was going to bring us fame or money or some other type of accolade. And when we sit back and we really discover what our unique identity is through our Creator God, how He made us and how He crafted us and what our mission is here, once we start to live in that alignment, that's where we're going to have ultimate success, because we're living in the alignment of how God made us. And that's when we want to pivot. We don't want to pivot and make a leap in our career before we've been able to answer those questions. And then once we do that, now we can chart a path knowing full well that God's leading us and that we're going in the direction that he would have us go.
What counts more, the money or the contentment that you're doing the right thing?
Oh, hands down, the contentment that we know that we're doing the right thing. I have seen and worked with so many folks who have followed the direction of a parent or a mentor that have said, oh, you'll make a great attorney or you'll make a great doctor or you're smart, you can do it. And they're on Wall Street or they're successful in business, whatever, but they've been chasing fame, they've been chasing titles, and they're successful in their career. And in the world standards, doing very, very well, but absolutely miserable because deep down inside, just like, boy, I just feel like there's something more. I just don't feel like I'm, there's something not right. And when they're able to crack that code, and what that is living in alignment with how God made them. And when they truly discover that, and then they're able to chart a new path, that's where ultimate, happiness and success comes from. In the book, I talk about a young attorney, a friend of mine here in Knoxville, Tennessee. And he was a successful attorney. He was going to be the youngest attorney going to be made partner at a very prestigious law firm. But he started talking with his wife about, it's like, I just don't feel like, this is what God wants me to do. I feel like I'm being led in a different direction. He decided that God was calling him into full-time ministry. And many people in his life were saying, are you crazy? You're at the pinnacle of your career. You've gone to law school. You're living the American dream. You're about ready to be made partner at this law firm. I mean, this is, you're going to be American royalty in some respects. He's like, no, I'm turning my back on all of it. I feel like God's calling me to ministry. And so on the very day that he was being offered, he was going to, accept this offer for partnership, he turned it down. He told the law firm that he was going to go to seminary, and he quit law. And he went to Baylor University, going to their seminary there and becoming a pastor. And I've interviewed him since. He's now a pastor. He said, Bob, I thought that I was closing the door on law, something that I did like, but I just realized that God wanted something different for me. And what I realized is that God was opening up a new avenue for me to serve him and serve the kingdom. And as a pastor today, I'm leveraging my law background and my law career. I'm still practicing law, but I'm helping people. And God's using me in unique ways I could have never imagined. And so that's an example of someone who's pivoted in their career and followed what God is calling them to do. He's not making the money that he was making in full-time law practice, but he is so much happier because he knows he's living in his God-given design. And so that's just one example.
Sure. And let me, if I could give a negative story, if you don't mind. I knew a guy, when we were growing up and so forth, and when we went off to college, and then he at one point was studying in graduate school, and he seemed to be very excited about studying English literature, and he was going to, become a professor to teach English literature, in college. That was his goal. Then the next thing I heard, he had dropped out of that, and he was in law school, and he said, hey, where's the money teaching English, in college or whatever? And then tracking him 5-10 years later, he was just miserable as a lawyer. He did make it, he made it as a lawyer and so forth, but it ended up becoming very miserable and eventually even died very young under mysterious circumstances. But I always thought about that, and I thought, he really deep down did want to be a professor of English, of English literature, but because he felt like the lawyer path had a lot more money opportunities to it, more money, that's what he chose, and he chose poorly.
Yeah, in history and probably in your lifetime and my lifetime, we're going to have plenty of friends and associates that we know have made those choices. And, I come across them every single day in the counseling work that we do and the folks that we're engaging with at Crown, where folks have made those choices and they're unhappy. And then they're searching, they search for meaning and happiness in all the wrong places. And obviously you and I and the listeners of this program know where happiness and meaning come from. And that's when we're living in alignment with our Creator God, and we're following what He's called us to do and have impact in the world around us. That's the encouragement. I mean, because that gravitational pull on all of us, believers as well as non-believers, is there, and that's something that we need to resist, and it's something that we need to be cognizant of. Not only as we manage our lives and are stewards of the resources and the career and the life that God has given us, but also helping those around us and being, you know, wise counsel for those people that we're going to be interfacing with and helping them on their journey as well.
Okay, so the book is called Love Your Work, and part of the whole point is if you don't love your work, either then change your attitude to have a more godly attitude, or, again, change the actual work itself, change the actual job. But I want to ask you this. Sometimes people can get the impression in the Christian field that, well, you can serve the Lord out in your secular job or whatever, but if you're really going to serve the Lord, then you've got to work as a minister or work in missions or work in some sort of explicitly Christian organization. Your thoughts?
I've heard that many times, and I think that is a huge mistake. To serve God, we do not need to be in full-time ministry. God calls us to serve no matter where He's placed us. I mean, I referenced the story of Joseph earlier, and you know, I think God was preparing him for a very particular and very special leadership role. And I think one of the biggest mistakes, my dad's a Baptist minister, I've had this kind of conversation with him before, and we both agree, and I've talked to many other pastors, but there's been this mistake that's been made in many pulpits across the nation where religious leaders will say, boy, if you want to serve God, you've got to leave whatever you're doing, and you've got to go to the mission field, or you've got to go into full-time ministry. And what's happened is we've called, those leaders have brought in people who specifically were not called or were not gifted in that ministry capacity. I mean, people from the time I was a little kid were saying, Bob, you're going to be a pastor just like your dad. The reason I'm not a pastor today is because I don't think God gave me the gifts needed for me to be in a pulpit and shepherding a flock in a church like my father's been called to. God gave me a completely different skill set. And so I'm trying to serve Him with the skill set that He gave me. Mm. And so what we need to do is people need to understand what are those unique skills and gifts that God has given each one of us. And I can tell you there's business leaders right now that are having huge impact in the business world, not only here within the United States, but in China and Asia, all over the globe. We need good Christian politicians where God has gifted orators and thinkers and men and women who can craft law and articulate the various viewpoints that need to be articulated in Washington, D.C. They can serve God in ministry right there. We need, I'm friends with Kirk Cameron and many of his friends and so forth that are serving in Hollywood. And we need great Christian leaders that are creating, whether it's Christian music or Christian film, in every single sector of the economy. So don't feel, if there's someone that's listening, don't feel that if God's calling you to ministry that you have to be a pastor or you have to be a missionary. No. Take stock of what God has given you, and first and foremost, start serving. Start being a leader and serving and ministering wherever God has planted you, in your home, in your community, in your school, in your local area. You'll be amazed at how many opportunities are right there. So the clarion call that I would have in my book is that you don't have to be in full-time Christian ministry. I mean, God bless those who have been called and certainly take up that calling of to be a pastor or to be a missionary. Mm-hmm. But there's many people, all of us have been called to serve and to impact the world wherever we've been planted.
All right, excellent. Robert Dickey III, president of Crown, crown.org for more information. The name of his book is Love Your Work. It's published by Moody. Thank you so much, Bob, for being with us.
All right, God bless you, Jerry. Thank you once again for having us on the program.
All right, thank you now. Bye-bye.